Macmillan Audio presents The English Wife by Lauren Willig. Read for you by Barry Krynick. Prologue. Cold Spring, 1899. Twelfth Night.
They say he's bankrupted himself rebuilding the house. All for her, of course.
Carrie Rhinelander's voice carried along the high-arched ceiling.
And then there are those frightful stories about... Oh, Janie! I didn't see you there.
No one ever did. Sometimes Janie felt like the threads on an old tapestry, blending into the background. That backdrop served its own purpose, Janie knew, but once... Just once, she wished she could blaze out in a luster of silver and gold. But not here. Here everyone glittered, everyone blazed. Her brother's guests dazzled in garb that would have put a Medici to shame, every breast adorned with diamonds and rubies, every neck hung round with gold chains. The men peacocked in tights and short cloaks, the women dazzled in silks and velvets woven with gold and sewn with jewels. Janie's own costume seemed modest in comparison. The garnets set in and around the squared neckline subdued in their opulence, the poor cousin of rubies.
Carrie?
Janie acknowledged Carrie's greeting with a shy nod. They had played dolls together, made their debut together, but Carrie had no time for her now. Carrie had married, and Janie hadn't. Against that, all the bonds of kinship and childhood counted as nothing. Carrie lifted a jeweled hand in acknowledgement, but she was already sailing past.
Poor Janie Van Dyvel, she murmured to her companion. All that money and still on the shelf.
A backwards glance and a hushed comment from Carrie's companion, one of the new people, the wife of a man who had made his money in mines. Then Carrie's voice again, a carrying whisper that was worse than a shout.
Hardly. There's been no one, no one at all, since Teddy Newland jilted her for Anne.
Janie forced herself to focus on the array of sweetmeats on the buffet table. Hothouse grapes spilled off the edges of platters of ornate silver gilt. Strawberries, red and ripe out of season, glistened with sugar like flowers under frost. Bay and Annabel had spared no expense in this, their one bow to society. A bow? No, more like the glorious condescension of monarchs, throwing open the palace for a day, letting the world come and gawk, before slamming shut the gates and returning to their own quiet state. Bay and Annabel had made a point of shunning society, or at least that was how society saw it. The idea that they might simply prefer their own company was taken as nonsense. It was sheer affectation that drove Annabel Van Dyvel to ignore Mrs. Astor's invitations to leave empty the family box at the opera. It was, everyone agreed, all the fault of her being English and convinced of her own superiority. Just look at what she had done to the Van Dyvel family home on the Hudson. A simple house of white wood, with a mere three wings and a classical colonnade, had been abandoned in favor of a baronial fantasy, a replica of Mrs. Van Dyvel's family home in England.
If she liked it there that much, why couldn't she have stayed there? Muttered the matchmaking mamas, thwarted in their ambitions for their daughters.
But they came anyway, all of them. In their private train cars, their landaus, their barouches, footmen in livery riding atop piles of baggage, ladies' maids clutching jewel cases, eager to gawk at what Annabel Van Dyvel had wrought, to cluck their tongues and shake their heads and spread what scandal they could as they dined on their host's food and reputations.
Van Dyvel doesn't trust his wife in society. That's why they're never in town. On account of her intemperate appetites.
Right next to her, Janie could hear the unmistakable...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?